Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland. I'm Ed Finn. My guest this evening has had a stellar career. He has reached the top ranks of Irish haute cuisine, beginning in the humble surrounds of DIT's culinary school, Cahill Brua Street. He soon went global via True Restaurant and Le Nomad in Chicago, La Caprice in London, La Pyramid in Lyon, plus 7 years with Kevin Thornton in his eponymous Dublin restaurant. As head chef at 41, he was celebrated for his innovative style and, of course, collected a plethora of accolades, including the prestigious Food and Wine Awards 2014 for the Best Restaurant in Dublin, Best Chef in Dublin and Best Chef overall in Ireland. In 2019, he was lauded yet again with the award for Best Chef Ireland at the Irish Restaurant Awards. Graham Neville, you are very welcome to the show. I'm in the presence of culinary excellence here tonight, I can tell you. How are you?
Great, and thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
It's great to have you on. Tell me, how are things going?
It's an interesting year, not one you would expect, but sure, listen, we one foot in front of the other and we see how we go.
In terms of your food story, was it always your plan to be a chef, get into Cahill Brua?
No, it wasn't. During school and secondary school, I used to be a kitchen porter in for a little bit of extra spending money at the weekend. So I would have worked a Friday night and probably maybe a Sunday. So I would have had my Saturday free to maybe socialise. So I was doing that all the time. So I'd left school. I was in, went to Trinity for about, I did about 6 months there, dental hygiene. Found out it wasn't for me, much to my parents' dismay, disgust, but they got over it. And to go into the kitchen just seemed an easy option for me at that time. I'd worked in kitchens throughout school, so I enjoyed it. I found it easy, and it was great crack. So that's kind of how I got into it. It was a little bit of default, to be honest, at the start, which who knows what they want to do at 16, 17, 18.
And I mean, do you think you're, I mean, you were saying they're dental hygiene, you must have great toothpicks in Dax, do you?
Super toothpicks.
Do you have
gold-plated?
Was the passion always there, do you think, for I mean, was that something that just kind of evolved, or did you always kind of, you, as you were saying, you enjoyed cooking, so the passion was there always?
Well, I suppose I was lucky in a sense. My memory of growing up, my mother cooked 3 meals a day. That's how it was. So it was always ingrained, good quality cooking. The passion side of it, yes. Maybe not initially at the very beginning. I kind of evolved into it a bit more. And the deeper I got, the more I enjoyed it. And to be honest, like, as long as I'm standing here, well into my 40s, I won't say, the longer I'm at it, the more I realise I don't know. To be honest, so it's ever evolving, ever learning, and it's great in that respect, you know.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, we were going to chat a little bit about your travels, and I think that was an amazing list there. Do you think that is in terms of your goals when you become a chef? I mean, I presume the goal is that you know you want to be your head chef, you want to be your own boss, running your own place.
Yeah. I know, like it absolutely is a goal, and it always is a goal for chefs to kind of aspire up. And like it's a long road, it's long days, it's long nights, but the most important part of it, like, is getting a good team around you, and that's so important. And in Dax, I'm there about 4 years now. It's really evolving into that, and like, we've some really great people there, and you're only as good as the people around you, to be perfectly honest, you know.
I suppose it's been challenging as well. When you were saying there, I was chatting to some people recently, and from the travel business, they were saying to us that they were struggling to keep their good staff because at the moment it's become a bit of a challenge, especially with the inertia, I suppose.
Yeah, well, the Olivier, in fairness, at the start kept on all of the staff, and we kept us going. We operated on the takeout, which keeps us connected with the market out there as well. And so the main part of the team are absolutely still rooted there. So in the next couple of weeks when we get open again, we'll be hitting the ground running. You know, we've a good team there and it's built up, and we were able to sustain that as well.
Fantastic. Just a bit about Cathal Brua Street. I mean, you know, it has become a bit of a legend, really, in terms of, churning out amazing chefs.
There was a training program at the time. It was day release. I went on my day off one day a week, and I did that for 3 years. So it's an institution in itself. It was a great learning environment. It gave me the opportunity to travel, which Cathal Brua Street would have done. And I met lots of chefs and lots of peers in my age group and around us. And to this day, I would still go back there. I would use the library from time to time. I would meet some of the lecturers from time to time. I've sat in on a couple of lectures as well, just for my own education and keep the mind busy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that is, of course, a challenge. I mean, you know, the way things change all the time and the trends. Yeah. I mean, I remember a few years ago being at a fabulous meal here in town. It was a Spanish tourist board event, and they had brought over these amazing chefs from Spain, and they had molecular gastronomy. And they had changed everything. I think that's kind of moved on now, hasn't it? I mean, where are we at the moment?
Yeah, well, like, there's lots of different levels in dining, and molecular stuff is always there. You would like to think real ingredients and honest ingredients will always win, and I think historically that'll show. And you would let the ingredients do the talking, and that's it. You know, you source great ingredients around Ireland, around Dublin, even lots of great producers put their life and heart into what they're producing, and that's what we're looking for day in and day out, and trying to support them, because the taste is in the eating. Sorry about the pun, I suppose, but that's the trick. Get good ingredients. The better the ingredients, the less the chef has to work, and that's really the key, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I remember, I think when we were able to go to events and have lunches, it was great. I remember
good old days.
Uniworld Cruises were launching one of their new French beautiful river cruises, and you had a French themed event with a dinner and the wines, and I have to say it was amazing. I felt I was immersed in France, and the food, you must have had it all flown in. it was amazing. But this, I was going to ask you, your training and experience. I mean, you've been in the UK, the USA. I mean, I mentioned earlier in the introduction there, Heston, Blumenthal. This all just comes together, does it, to kind of influence you? I mean, is it so difficult to kind of pick and choose, or you just evolve, I guess, yourself, don't you, into your own style and your own?
Well, the travelling, like, I would have qualified out of Cathal Brua Street, I would have been about 22, 23, I suppose. So, like, you're talking about like a 25, 26 year span there. I've been lucky. I worked in some great places with some great chefs, and I was very, very lucky. I've travelled the world. Recently, I did a couple of events in Hong Kong as well. So it's really been brilliant. It's hard to take or pick or what style is yours or what's not. You would kind of cook food to the area and your environment, and good quality is good quality no matter where you're in or what country you're in, and hard work and dedication and accountability, all of those things stand tall, and at the end of the day, people speak with their feet. You know, if they don't like what you're doing, you're going to have an empty restaurant,
of course,
and that's it, you know.
Yeah, and I mean here, you, it's probably, there's a lot of really good produce available to you here.
Yeah, there is.
So no, that's going to influence.
Yeah, I've been involved heavily, I suppose, with Eurotalk Ireland as well for the last 25, 26 years as well. And it will be an organisation set up by chefs. It was Myrtle Allen who set it up originally. And we want to showcase and support Irish indigenous food and bring it forward and help them find the market. And we use it because it's the best. It tastes the best. You get the most pleasure out of working with it. And the air mile is very, very small. Very, very, very small. You know, and you're helping your local communities as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. The Eurotalk, I mean, that was set up, yeah. Wasn't it? It's kind of excellent producers and
that's
stuff,
it.
Isn't that
that's it? It would be like an organisation set up by chefs. It's run by chefs. It would be like non-profit. Lots of guys have headed it up over the years. Derry Clark was there. Ross Lewis was there. The Ballymaloe connection, which I just mentioned. So people would do that like in their spare time. I looked after for about 4 years. Gareth Mullen is looking after it now. And all we're doing is preserving Irish heritage and indigenous foods and trying to support small producers that are keeping their family going. And all over Ireland, there's some beautiful producers producing brilliant, amazing ingredients. And the chefs find these places and support them and get them out there in the market. And that's what that would probably be the most important job for me that Eurotalk has done.
So have you been very busy now preparing, sourcing ingredients? Have you been planning sorts of some very sort of special openers that are going to be like wowing the public?
There's lots of time to read and reflect
there sure is.
And you know, you look back on old recipes and old ingredients, and I suppose when the customers, the diners get back into the restaurant, you would just like to give them an experience that they can't forget. We don't go for smoke and mirrors and that's it's good ingredients served impeccably well with some beautiful wine. And I will look to the length and breadth of the country to put on the plate the best that Ireland is producing at the moment. And abroad. I'm not saying only Irish ingredients, but we'll do our best.
Yeah, I mean, I've people were telling me recently that they're just once they get into restaurants, they don't care how much they spend on wines, but they're just so dying to have that experience again.
Well, it's the whole experience. It's a night out. It's a night's entertainment, and like from the interaction I've had with a couple of people, people are sick of cooking at home at this stage. They just want to go out, sit down, and get your dinner handed to you, as they say, and pour a nice glass of wine. And that's what we do. We source a lot of good wines. We would have a great collection of Bordeaux with the Chateau Fusals, the Lynch Badge, if you want to splash out there. Mm. Really, really nice. Really, really sit down, enjoy yourself. And relax, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, so you've had a good bit of time now for your vision.
Recharging.
Your vision is all set for the July, hopefully. I mean,
please
we're hoping will be
God.
Great. Yeah. It'll be all vaccinated, hopefully, more or less by then. But listen, that's really interesting. I mean, I suppose I'm just going to Heston Blumenthal. I wanted to mention that must have been fun, was it?
Yeah, I've always tried to educate myself how Heston would have come up was I would have taken time when I was in Torrington, so I would have taken a couple of weeks holidays and gone over there and worked there for free at the time. Heston, fantastic chef, and what really stands out about him is if you could ask him any question under the sun about food, very, very knowledgeable about food and technique and cooking techniques. His kind of style of food would be driven on that. If he didn't know an answer to a question, he'd say, I don't know that, I'll find out for you. He was lovely, gentleman, very, very nice, and his restaurant empire, I suppose, is a reflection of that as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I mean, Thornton's, where I had some fabulous meals as well, Kevin's place, I mean, that was just another wonderful restaurant we had here. And the 51, am I right?
Restaurant 41.
Yeah, 41, sorry. I'm thinking of my age.
Yeah.
No, the 41, where you won, of course, awards for as well, in the former residence.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just wonderful
that
as
was
well.
That was a brilliant experience. I met some wonderful people there. The restaurant was beautiful. It was an old Georgian building looking over Stephen's Green. Mm. It was really, really, really nice. Great experience. I was 9 years, I think, nine years there. So it's a good chunk of your life. But great experience. But Dax came along around the corner and I moved around there. I'd worked... You mentioned Thornton's. I'd worked with Olivier in Thornton's originally.
Yeah.
That's where we met. And we would have both worked with Kevin for like many, many years. And Kevin, again, he's a true, true craftsman.
Absolutely, yeah.
In the food and the sourcing and his artwork and his photography and his sculpting and stuff. Like, he's a true craftsman. I would have been on Kevin's right hand side for 7 years or so, and brilliant guy. We would still get on really, really well. We would talk all of the time, and I was very lucky because people like that don't come along very often.
That's lovely, Graham. This brings us along nicely to your first choice of music this evening. What have you picked for us?
I've picked a guitar duo, Milk Carton Kids, I Will Be Gone. And it's a kind of an interesting song because just before the lockdown, I went to see them with my father and brother in Newcastle last year. And the next week, we've been shut down and haven't moved since. I hope you enjoy it.
Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com
on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. I'm Ed Finn, and my special guest this evening is head chef at Dax Restaurant, Graham Neville. Graham, have you any food heroes at all?
Oh, plenty, lots. Myrtle Allen would be probably one of the big ones I would have. Looking back in her life, she was a fantastic lady, fantastic woman. I was lucky to meet her on quite a few occasions as well, and we drove back up from Wicklow one day, and it was myself, my wife, and Myrtle in the car, and I really got an insight into her life as well at that point, and she took a great shining to my wife, who was American and had just travelled over from America, so the two girls really hit it off and had a grand old chat in the car, and I kind of just listened to the whole lot, but food was her life, really. From start to finish, and there's a lot to be said for that, and she's put a lot of good habits into Irish chefs, I think.
I was chatting earlier there about restaurants and running them and stuff. Who would you consider a mentor, or from a business perspective, Gareth? I mean, like Gordon Ramsay always says, kind of Alain Ducasse would be his mentor. Would you have a sort of similar? I know Ross Lewis is waiting for you to say Ross Lewis.
Yeah. He did pay.
He's Cork as well. We can't say him.
He did pay me to say it. Ross would be really good. Nevin Maguire would be hugely influential in what he's created up there. Gareth Byrne as well, obviously as well. I would speak with him a lot, and great advice these guys would have.
Wonderful.
And there's a guy up in the old Post Inn. In Garrote Lynch as well. Good head on his shoulders, great chef. I've probably had many a phone conversation with him over the years as well. So you can't really say it to one person. There'd be lots of people that would have helped me over the years, you know.
Do you find, obviously, as the chef, I mean, you're running a business, right?
Yeah.
Is it difficult to split the time between everything? I mean, because the pressure from start to finish, getting your food plated out to the managing your staff, making sure their health, their well-being. I mean, the days, Gareth, of mad chefs running around the kitchen flinging knives is more or less gone, I would imagine.
No, it is. I suppose it's a lifestyle. It's all I've done, for 26, 27 years. I've been in kitchens that wouldn't have great attitudes, but I can firmly say now the last 15, 20 years, that's kind of gone out of kitchens. I know you will hear stories, but you're only as good as your last meal, and if the people around you aren't happy, the food will reflect that, and customers get a vibe off that as well. So like a happy kitchen produces good food, and people stay as well. There will be a staff shortage after this lockdown. People have left the industry, no doubt about it, and to be able to encourage people to bring people along and show them a craft and have them enjoy it, it'll be a real trick. To be honest, it'll be a real hard point, you know, going forward.
Yeah, it will, of course, and I think for everybody as well. I mean, I was reading something in the New York Times recently. They were describing us as languishing, and I think that word kind of would have described a lot of people just feeling like you know, we're going to have to get back into the swing of things again. It'll be difficult enough.
Back into the grind of it, because it's not always easy. And going forward, like I suppose to motivate young people, like, we all need young people around us, and to motivate them, get them interested, and let them grow in a place as well. It's really, really, really important, and that's kind of really, it'll be the main kind of focus, you know, let people grow, and they need to get that buzz. I can't explain.
The
pride of it. As I'd always say, if your mother and father were in, would you serve them that? Or, you know, get the pride. And once people have the pride in their work and they like it, you kind of go to a different place. And a hard day's work is actually good fun then. Plenty of slagging along the way and all that.
You know. Yeah, Raymond Blanc recently confessed that he can't stand baked beans, right? And he then admitted to developing a secret like for brown sauce, which is kind of unusual. So it's confession time here now. So what is your, what can you confess to us tonight?
I have been introduced to a spice bag in the last few weeks, and they're kind of tasty. An old one would be, I used to, chefs, I suppose, when they came home at night, they'd have an ale sandwich. I used to love an ale toasted spaghetti sandwich.
Oh, wow.
Believe you me. Very tasty.
First time I've heard that now.
Yeah, I'd still eat it every night. Well, I'm feeling a bit low.
Now, would this be the alphabet spaghetti or in the tin, or would it be like real spaghetti?
Be real spaghetti, but some nights you take what you're given.
Brilliant. Wow, I must try that. Okay, very good. We've seen over the years, Graham, certain super chefs, I suppose, who've made TV careers out of their sort of management style and stuff. For yourself, I'm sure, you know, if you wanted to be on television, it'd be no problem for you. But what would you describe as your own sort of management style?
Again, the chefs I've worked with over the years might contradict. I try and lead by example. I wouldn't ask somebody to do something I wouldn't do myself. So I'm generally in there with them at the start of the day, and I'm there till the end of the day, and we all work together in a harmonious way, if possible. It's not always like that, but that's the goal. As my kind of management style is, like, I just try and keep people on the tracks. When you're at something a long time, you know when somebody's going to hit a wall, so I try and avoid that. I'd be just kind of preventing disasters, I should say, from time to time. But you just try to keep people engaged, educated, thinking, moving, and I do is just encourage them all the time and keep it going. Yeah.
So what do you hate seeing in your kitchen? If I was a young chef in there now, and I was, what would you be?
A big thing that happens a lot now is, and like, it's part of the world that we kind of live in, trying to make things quicker for the sake of it being quicker, instead of trying to make things better for the sake of the customer enjoying it a little bit more. So everything's about speed and quick and fast. It's not good food is not really about that. You can take lots of shortcuts, but you'll be found out at the end of the day, and it'll be the day a reviewer is in or somebody else is in, and that's how it happens. You know, it'd be a perfect storm on a perfect day, and that's what you try and avoid. You build up systems in kitchens that are consistent, and unfortunately some of them are time consuming, but the eating is in the pudding, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's lovely to hear what you were saying earlier about, you know, nurturing the staff as well. It's not just the food, but of course they're the ones that are producing the food, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And that's a very big part of your management.
Like, the chefs in the kitchen would produce more food than I would do. So, like, all I would do is try and create an environment that they feel happy about, and they thrive in, because they will produce amazing food. Then, I will have the ingredients there, the environment of the kitchen, whatever needs to be fixed or done or staffing and time off and all of that stuff. So I will manage that side of it. So when they're there, it's their time to shine, and that's kind of what I would say. The customers are their audience, so they produce the food that they go well, and that's it. That's all we're trying to recreate that day in, day out, and build up a good team environment.
And listen, what has been, Graham, what has been your most memorable, if you could tell us, restaurant or sort of foodie experience that you can, one that stands out for you over the years?
I again, when I was in the States, I worked with some great guys, Alex Dupek, Graham Elliott Bowles, Cesar in Brooklyn Fair, and that's probably what I'm going to say. I had a lovely meal in a 3-star restaurant in Brooklyn in New York. Now, he's moved into Manhattan now, I believe, but it was a simple restaurant, a kitchen and a little bar in front of him, and he'd seat about 18 people, and it was top class ingredients and ever so simple, ever so tasty, and it's really stuck in my mind, you know, and he's doing really, really well over there with it.
And is that, what's the name of that, what is the name of that place?
Brooklyn, Chef's Table at Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, I thought Fair. You were saying the area, that Brooklyn. Good.
It was in Brooklyn, but now he's downtown then. I think it's downtown Manhattan somewhere now. I haven't been over there in a couple of years. Really, really good. Really, really good. But again, like I've eaten everywhere in the world. I was in Noma about two years ago. Really, really good. I've been very lucky when I'm looking back, actually.
Yeah.
I've eaten and tasted a lot and worked with some great people as well, you know.
Brilliant. So listen, that brings us along to your second choice of music this evening. What have you picked for us for your second choice?
I suppose keeping the theme of America, Simon and Garfunkel, America.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry. A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book. A romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine, 106.8. Sunshine, 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. My special guest this evening is Graham Neville, head chef from Dax Restaurant here in Dublin. Graham, how have you been using your time over the past year?
I cooked a fair bit at home. Not always great reviews from the kids or the wife, but sure, listen, every day is a school day. Reading a bit, trying to get back at a little bit of running, and looking over menus. Now, in the last year with Dax, we have been operating a takeout service, which is something I wouldn't have envisaged for. My career, but listen, we are where we are, and I think it's been working out pretty well. In fact, I've learnt a lot with it. You kind of go back to basics a bit on the food and try and give people nice, tasty food, which I think we're achieving. And the business wise, have been very, very consistent, and we're absolutely very lucky about that. I look over recipes, and I suppose planning new menus that'll be coming up in the summer, touching base with the producers of the various ingredients that we would use over the year, and try to guess when we're coming back, because it is a little bit of a guessing game at the moment still, you know. It's hard to plan.
Have you been doing a lot of wine tasting?
There's been one or two afternoons I've had one or two wines, nothing excessive, but again, it's always nice to whet the appetite and learn, because I wouldn't know a huge amount about wine, so it's great in that respect, you know, because it's a food and wine, it's just a great marriage, you know.
Of course. And what you were saying there about the takeout business that's run, do you think when things will normalise again soon, will that be something that you think, Graham, a lot of restaurants will keep going now, almost as an added bonus to the business? Or do you think it'll sort of just go back to main, or probably time-wise, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose Ireland, looking back, takeaway was generally chipper or Chinese and Indian, I would think. So it's been a little bit of an introduction that there can be a little bit of a alternative option. I won't say better or worse. Will it return? I think it will stay in some restaurants. Possibly ones in the city, or the busier ones, might be able to facilitate both. I definitely think it'll be on people's minds if business levels change and occupancy levels in the city centre will change as well. We're kind of thinking on our feet here and walking, and things are changing and life is changing. So if need be, needs must, you know.
Yeah, and of course with the time you've had to prepare as well, it'll be amazing. I'm expecting there's going to be some great menus when we go back. We're going to be spoiled.
Yeah. Well, hopefully when we get back, it will. Lots of planning. Dax will focus on ingredient led food, and it'll be will. Bring back like the courgette flour, which is nearly a staple at this stage. I know Donica in Iona Farm has planted them on the off chance that restaurants will get back going, and it's a really, really popular dish. I know Willie with the Cumra Mountain lamb. The lambs have been born, and by August probably the lamb will be ready as well. It's a mountain lamb, so we'll be talking to all of the producers and when Dax get back on, it'll be the best sauces in town. Wow. I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
And you'll lick your lips, you'll be dipping the bread in, cleaning the plate.
Oh, brilliant, it sounds great. It's a lovely ambience in there as well. I suppose if I was to compare it to some other lovely restaurant, I've been at like the La Colombe down in the south of France
it's beautiful.
Just top ingredients.
No, absolutely.
A real night out.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely night out. The service will be great. We're putting a little bit of work into the bar. I'm not exactly sure whether it'll be there when we open in June, but it should be there by August.
A bar, what's that?
A little bar.
A bar. I'm trying to remember what that is.
A mirage. So, the restaurant is lovely. We've lovely glassware and plates. It'll be like Christmas morning when the restaurants get open, if you can remember that excitement when you walk down the stairs as a child and you're opening the door. That's what it's going to be like. And with chefs and waiters and owners and everything, it'll be amazing, exciting time. And I think the COVID experience, I think is being relayed like the 1920s, I think the Roaring Twenties. So you might have to hold on to your hat and keep going, enjoy the ride. I think, you know, please God now, hopefully we're back.
Yeah, there was one restaurant owner recently saying to me he could open 24 hours because the bookings,
shockers. People are ready to go,
Do you think, Graham, that the dining out experience, do you think it'll be a different experience now when we get back, or will we slowly get back to where we were before?
I think from my understanding, restaurants will have restrictions as the amount of people allowed in the restaurant at one particular time. So I think when we go back, it'll resemble more July and December dining, which I suppose people in Ireland like a buzzy place probably won't be as buzzy. But I think what you'll find is with the restaurants especially, I think the diner's experience will be even greater. I think the attention to detail will be more, and you'll actually have a better night out, and you'll enjoy everything a little bit more, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a little bit more focus on them, on the finer details.
Yeah.
That would be my view anyway. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the clientele, I mean, from memory, I mean, Dax would be, like, to me, a lovely neighbourhood restaurant with a quality Michelin feel almost.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't have a Michelin star, but
I know, but you almost would mean, even from the food and stuff, I know you don't, but that was the feeling I almost got.
Well,
you know?
Well, we try to do the best we can every day, and we don't really leave any stones unturned with quality and stuff. So we would produce a really, really top end product, and it's very enjoyable as well. So we'll see where we go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Everyone be looking forward to that anyway. Now, rumour has it, right, that there's going to be a no holds barred approach to the wine list when people get back, right? So. What is, I know you were very modestly saying there that you don't know about wine, but I'd be very suspicious about that. What would you say, what's your jewel in the wine list? Now, it can be in terms of quality, it doesn't have to be price, but
yeah, well,
does anything jump out?
As I kind of mentioned earlier, we would focus a bit on Bordeaux. Lynch badges, Chateau Fusac and stuff. You can go from 150 to 2 grand now, no problem, if you want to take a bit of weight off your wallet. But again, it's there. We've extended the wine list as well for the end of June, start of July. We've put, I think we bought about 20 grand's worth of extra stock that we sold up on last year. So the wine list will have a bit for everybody in all tastes, you know, from the Riocas to the French to the Argentinian even, you know. So there'll be lots there. Lots there, you know.
Brilliant. Now, Graham, Dax is part of the exclusive and by invitation only Blue Book, of course, okay. We were talking about earlier. Yeah. You're one of the restaurants that are a member. What does it mean to you? What has meant to you now to be invited and to be part of this lovely community, of which is kind of the prestigious Blue Book, if you like?
Well, it's a real, real honour. The restaurants and hotels and guest houses that are involved are really top quality places, and for us it's a great achievement to be asked and to get into the Blue Book, and we really work hard to maintain a high standard and to do everybody proud, because like where we're located, I suppose within a square 5 mile radius is arguably the best 5 restaurants in the country, so we have to be on our game all of the time. We're not up to the Michelin level per se, but we would offer a very, very high quality experience, and again, we see where we go.
Wonderful. And I suppose with the networking, there's a great network of people when you're part of the Blue Book as well. I suppose you can ring Francis Brennan and ask him what's his favourite fridge, can you? Or how does it work? And say, Francis, my fridge is broken here. What can I do?
No. Everybody's great, and they're always on the end of a phone if you have a question.
You run out of a bit of time, you can ring Ross and get him to drop down a bit.
Absolutely. Fly it down in a helicopter.
That's
really good. But there is like a really great network of people there, and camaraderie and sharing information and educating ourselves on various things and what's going on and what's happening.
So Graham, return to Dax, I guess. Finishing up this evening to talk about this. I suppose what's your goal now, or what's your promise to yourself and the team after, I suppose, the tough year? What's your vision for the future?
I suppose hopefully we get back and we stay open. Hopefully we don't have any more hiccups. Hopefully we all get vaccinated. Hopefully we can get and achieve good continuity with the staff, front and back of house, and grow the team. Offer a good working life and time off life as well. We're going to be doing 4 day weeks for a lot of the staff. Now that there might be 4 long days from time to time, but that's what we're going to try and marry, you know, and really grow and improve, get some beautiful ingredients, and really have people talking about the Dax as a top place in Dublin, and that's really what we would aspire to.
Wonderful. Now, I've asked you, we won't go through it tonight, I've asked you to give me a little recipe for the listeners as well, which we're going to put up on the website, so lovely, people will be able to get that on the Sunshine and on the Blue Book website as well. What, Graham, is the information for anybody who'd like to try and get in, to try and get a reservation before
you... What is the
website?
So it's www.dax.ie. We would be on Twitter, on Instagram, and lots of on Facebook, so lots of availability there give us a call, drop us an email, and we'd absolutely be delighted to look after you, and hopefully we're back in July, please God.
Now, what have you picked for your final piece of music for us this evening?
Final piece of music is an Elton John cover by Sarah Bareilles on the piano, Yellow Brick Road.
Well, award-winning chef Graham Neville, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show this evening, and the very best of luck with the season ahead now.
Thanks very much, Ed. Thank you.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? Should I stay on the phone?